Think? Nothing going on Monday. Lots on Saturday. Thank you, Lord. Today is the second week of Advent. Evan talked to us last week about the Advent and the meaning of Advent, and Pastor Chris referred to it a little bit as well during worship, and it's this time of waiting, of expectation, of expecting the Lord. And the first Advent, people waited for generations and generations waiting for the Messiah, you know. And when Jesus came, you know, this expectation, he didn't meet a lot of people's expectations. And a lot of people missed it, you know. And Jesus even said to the Pharisees at one point, you search the scriptures and you're looking, you know, for God's promise, but you missed out on it, you know? This is me paraphrasing Jesus, but you missed out on the fulfillment of it. And Jesus was it right there, talking to the Pharisees. And the waiting of the Lord, he has fulfilled all of his promises. And he will fulfill all of his promises. He came, just like he said he would. And he is coming again. And we look forward to that day. And really, that's this in-between area where we're at now in this world, in this life. He came, and he said he's coming back. And we know he's going to come back. And we want to be ready for his return and continue to expectantly wait for his return and be ready and invite as many people as possible to join us in making ourselves ready for his return. So, the second week of Advent is all about peace. The Advent candles are burning here in front of me. Oh, thank you to all the people who came out and decorated. Also, doesn't it look nice in here and all around? What a nice touch that is. Thank you. God bless you. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 2, a portion where we see God is making this announcement of the coming of the Lord to these shepherds out in the field, and he makes this glorious announcement through angels. And what better place, I think, to start our Advent peace section than looking at where the angels declare this message. So we're going to read in chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to whom on whom those his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. God, we are, like we sang, this is our declaration. We need you, Lord. We need you every hour, every moment. We rely on you. Your word is life to us. Lord, you are that wellspring of life, and you offer that through your word to us today. And I just pray, Lord, you would help each of us to draw and to drink deeply from the life that you have to offer to us in your word, and that you would feed and nourish and minister to each one of us here your life-giving word, exactly what we need. You have for us, and you meet us. And your word, Lord, I'm so thankful that it speaks to and applies to every part of life. And we just say, yes, Lord, we need you today. Help me to share your word. Help us, Lord, to receive what you have for us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so we see this announcement here. The angel of the Lord appears, and that the shepherds are scared. I would be pretty scared, too. I don't know what angels really look like, but if I saw an angel of the Lord, I would think any of us would be terrified along with them. And he says, you know, this incredible message to them, this what they've been waiting for, he declares to them. And the Messiah is born. How incredible. And I like how at the end of this announcement, the angels, they go back into heaven, and the shepherds are left there, and like, they're like, let's go check it out. And like, that's totally me. I'm like, let's go find out what's going on. And there's that sense of wanting to adventure and explore and find out. And I think the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of what we see in Scripture, there's a lot of this investigation going on. These extremely, like, weird or crazy or like miraculous things happen. They're like, that seems, you know, out of the ordinary. And then they're just like regular people like you and I. They're like, what was that about? Let's go check it out. You know, elbowing each other. You go first, you know, I'll be right behind you or whatever. But let's just go and investigate this. And we're invited all throughout Scripture to not just hear something and just leave it there, but to hear something and to check it out. Let's check this out. And we want to just dive into and check out more, like what it is, this peace that's so significant to us, that God offers to us. One of the things I love about Christmas is nativity scenes and how peaceful they all seem. You ever notice that? They're just some of the most peaceful images, you know, Mary and Joseph underneath the stars, and it wasn't raining. We know that because there's never a cloud in any of the nativity scenes. It wasn't stormy. It was just the most perfect, peaceful evening next to a bunch of animals in a manger. Oh, and then the sweet baby Jesus. But yeah, you have this really peaceful scene, and there's something, you know, that we even sing one of the most iconic songs about how peaceful that night was. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, you know, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. And I won't sing it. But just this view that we have of the nativity isn't often what it was really like. You know, it is this message of peace that God announced. But, I mean, it was probably a very scary moment and traumatic moment even. Maybe they're like, there's no doctors, there's no midwife. It's just this expecting mother and her husband in a cave or whatever it was, like next to animals. And it wasn't the cleanest place. It wasn't the best smelling place. And here the King of Kings is being born, and it's so significant. The angels announce it, and yet he's in a manger, you know? So there's probably not the most peaceful setting where it actually took place. Yet, it's a message of great peace, and we think of it as a peaceful night. And there's something about us, the way God made us, when he made us in his image, you know, that we were meant to be whole, to be at peace. There's something hardwired in us as mankind to desire peace. We were made. That's the way God designed us, to be at peace. And that is referring to all of you, the whole of you. You're, and I was talking to someone earlier this morning, we're not just physical beings or spiritual beings, or there's a spiritual part of us, and you have to balance this. We're emotional beings as well, but we're one person, you know? And God, at the foundation of being at peace with who you are, all of you, is having peace with God. And that's what Jesus came, is to bring us peace with him. We know that when we look around, our world, sadly, is lacking this big time, right? There's conflict everywhere we look, whether it's in our own lives, in our own relationships. There's stress, there's anxiety, there's worry, there's just in our own hearts, there's pride, there's anger sometimes, there's just in this world, there's full of conflict, hostility, people who are just centered on themselves, greedy. I mean, we don't see that very often in this world, a place of peace. So that's exactly why this message is so important for us today, not just for those shepherds back then, but for all people of all time. We need God's peace, and that's what Jesus came to bring. Jesus isn't just our hope of peace at Christmas. He is our peace in life, in everyday living. He's our peace in life. And it's only in knowing Jesus that we'll ever really know peace. Somebody said this: there will never be peace in the world or rest in the individual heart until the Prince of Peace reigns supreme in the hearts of men. And this is a big part of the Christmas story. The Christmas message is that Jesus brings us peace by bringing us at peace with God, restoring that peace between us and God to what we were made for, the way God designed us to relate with him. So one scripture, there's so many scriptures, but I just want to share one with you about what we're talking about here, this peace with God. In Colossians 1, Paul writes this regarding the peace that Jesus brings us into. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, speaking of Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we know that's how Jesus makes peace between us and God, is through his blood that was shed, that we can be forgiven, that we can be made right with God and brought back to what we were designed and made for. So I want to just take a moment here and just let's consider together from a few Bible verses here, but let us consider together what life is like without the peace of God. Can you remember what your life was like before you met Jesus, when you were lacking that peace? I tell you what, there's people all around us in our community that are there right now, you know, who need to know the Prince of Peace. And one of the things I want to do is just in considering this is, I don't have all of these verses that I didn't get them all to Matt to put up here, but just to look at a prayer. This is a prayer that David prays in Psalm 38, and he's talking about this experience he had when he was under this conviction of his sinfulness, of his rebellion towards God, of this absence of peace. And this is what he describes. He says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart." This is, I think, a good picture of what that may look like or seem like or feel like, the lack of peace with God. his experience of not having this peace with God, it was like an overwhelming guilt. His guilt was overwhelming him. Man, we are, all of us, guilty. And that is something that we can't just brush aside or sweep under the rug or just try to ignore. It will bear down upon you, and in such a way, like David said, too heavy a burden to bear. We weren't designed to bear the burden of guilt. And that's what the peace of God does. It bears that burden. So he says how heavy this burden was, loathsome and festering wounds. He was suffering. He was in this like anguish of heart, he says at the end, but I believe it's not just a physical thing. He talks about searing pain in his back. And sometimes I feel like I'm getting old and I have body aches and pains that I didn't have when I was a little bit younger. But this is more than that. This is like his whole being, you know, the pain and the suffering that was emotional, that was physical, that was spiritual. Suffering, weakness. He was like in despair of life itself, this absence of peace. He said, I'm utterly crushed. It's like I don't have the will to go on, being completely defeated and crushed. I don't know if you've ever been there or felt like that, but man, that's what it's like to not know the peace of God. Paul says this in Romans. This is a very well-known portion of Scripture. If any of you ever know the Romans Road, this is part of that Romans Road in chapter 3. And he's talking about what shall we conclude. He's talking about the Jews keeping the law and the Gentiles not having the law. And he says, as a Jew, do we have any advantage? No, not at all. For we have already made the charge that the Jews and the Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So when we think about this in terms of David and his experience of this absence of God's peace because of his sin, here Paul brings it into another perspective where he's like, it wasn't just David. It wasn't just people who are like really sinful or really messed up. But Paul brings it into this reality where it's everyone. It's you, it's me, it's every one of us are in that place. Have been in that place apart from Christ. There is no peace. And he says this later on in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. This is kind of a dismal thing to think about here on a Christmas Advent message, right? But you know, think of the anxiety there must be of just always worrying and wondering about death and how overcome we will be on that day, you know? And how overwhelming that may be to just have that rule your heart, the fear of death, right? And that's what it's like to not know the peace of God. Sometimes we take that for granted, you know, because maybe we've just been around it for so long, but it's such a powerful and important part of our lives. And it's not just an Advent thing, it's an everyday thing. Speaking of sin, and the wages of sin is death, and this sudden destruction and this anxiety and fear of death and what's to come. I mean, Jesus, he says this, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. So even Jesus is saying, like, if you don't have peace with God, you should be very afraid of what's going to happen, of where you're going to end up. The destruction that comes it's not just a figure of speech, it's the reality for anyone and everyone who's under God's wrath. The wages of sin is death. We know this. But Paul writes later in Romans, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what I want to do, just for a moment, to consider what it's like without life, without the peace of God. But now, let's just think for a moment who God is, what God is like. And I just, again, I don't have all the scriptures put up here, so just think about how awesome and beautiful and majestic and full of glory and splendor is the God Almighty who created everything. And the Psalms are full of this type of prayers and praise describing the awesomeness of God. And I just want to read a little bit to you and just take it in as I read it to you. This is a compilation of parts of several different Psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Lord God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations, and it can never be moved. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. And we could go on and on just reading the description of the splendor of the Lord. And it's awesome just to think about who God is and what he's like for a moment as we're talking about peace here, because this is the foundation of peace. It's knowing him, this God, the creator of the universe, the one with whom the whole earth trembles before. And Paul, in one of his letters, he writes about this God and his glory. And he has such a different way of describing the King of Glory. It's not what you would expect. It's not what anyone ever did expect. And it displays his splendor in such a remarkable way. It's almost unbelievable. And it was unbelievable to those who were waiting for his first coming. And for us, in light of just the importance of having peace with God and thinking a moment like what life would be like without it and how great this God is, listen to what Paul writes about how his splendor is put on display. In Philippians 2, Paul says about Jesus, who being in very nature God, this great, majestic one who makes his chariots on the clouds, He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you see, the ones who were waiting the Messiah, they were awaiting this great, glorious King of splendor, King of kings. And he came in such humble circumstances. He humbled himself, taking the nature of a servant, being found in the likeness of a man, born in a manger. And he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Totally, totally not what anyone ever expected this great God would do to save his people, right? And yet it's the most amazing and glorious and beautiful thing, because in Jesus, we can actually see God and know him. We can know what he's like and know how great his love is. I want to read one more verse here in Isaiah. Again, a very familiar portion referring to the splendor, describing this Savior. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's why this Christmas story, this Christmas message about the Advent, the hope that we have and the peace that we have in Christ, is so incredible. And it's so awesome to celebrate and to remember and to share, because it's good news. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. The gospel never has and never will be a religion. It's not a belief system. It's not just something, a belief thing that you adhere to or say yes to. The gospel isn't just a way to have the best life you can have. It's not a way to find health and happiness. The gospel is not simply a free pass into heaven. It is and always has been the most incredible news, that in the gospel, we have relationship with God. That relationship is the foundation of our peace, that we can know him. That's what makes the gospel such unique and amazing and good news. We can know him. Jesus brings peace with God. He brings peace. And when we have peace with God, we have peace on the inside with ourselves, and we have peace with others around us as well. But I tell you what, you can't really have peace internally and peace in your relationships very well without the foundation of peace with God. They're directly connected. If you find yourself thinking, oh, if only I just could get away from this person or didn't have to deal with that situation, then I could have peace. You're looking in the wrong place. You're saying the wrong things. It's always directly tied to peace in every other area of your life, to the peace we have in Christ. He's the foundation of it all. Without Christmas, without Jesus being born in that manger, there would be no Jesus going to the cross and shedding his blood to make peace for us with God. Do you have peace with God this morning? Jesus, he died on the cross. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin, to deal with all of the things that we were just talking about, this sinfulness and the experience of our sinful state that separates us from God, that leaves us without peace, the absence of peace. He came and he was born in a manger so that he could die on the cross and bring us back to God, restore us what we were back to peace, what we were made for, to the right relationship with him. If your faith, if you know that you've put your trust and your faith is in him, then you do have peace with God. And let that peace, Paul says, rule and reign in your heart and in your mind and in your words and in all of your interactions. Let the peace of God rule and reign in you. From our text in Luke 2, we started off with this announcement of the angel, and then the whole angelic choir joined in and was singing glory to God, and they're talking to these shepherds who are keeping watch over their flocks at night, right? And I think it's so interesting that God chose this group of shepherds to be the first ones he announced this glorious message to. And Jesus himself refers to him and his life. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for his sheep. And I want to just close here this morning by reading one of my favorite psalms, and some people call it the psalm, the shepherd psalm, or the psalm of the shepherd, but it's the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want us to wrap our hearts and our minds around this one big idea that I want to draw from this psalm. And it's simply this. The shepherd of your life will determine the state of your soul. I can say, along with David, I shall not be in want. Not because I have everything I want, or not because it's the perfect Christmas party or the perfect family gathering or all these expectations we have, right, that we put into our traditions around Christmas and we just want everything to be perfect. And I'm not saying don't try to make it perfect and fun, but that's not, I could have all of that or have none of that. I could have all of my Christmas presents you know, my hopes and wishes realized or not. That's not what makes me say, I shall not be in want. It's who I have that makes me say, I shall not be in want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. He is my peace. And that's what this Advent Sunday of Peace is all about. Just walking with the Lord, the Prince of Peace, and knowing him and living in that and sharing that with those around us. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much for this Christmas season. It's a wonderful time of the year it's full of traditions and family gatherings and loved ones and friends. But Lord, we don't want to forget what it's all about. That it's about you who emptied yourself and became nothing. You became a man. And you became completely obedient where we weren't obedient. And you took on the curse that we deserved. You were misunderstood. You were despised. You were rejected. And you did everything in love and perfection and glory. And this morning, we just want to remember you and what you've done for us and how amazing this peace is that we have because of what you've done. Thank you for your peace, Lord. Let your peace rule and reign in our hearts and minds today and every day, Lord, because it's not just a thing that we celebrate on Christmas, but it's peace for life. You're the shepherd of our lives. So lead and guide us, Lord, this day and every day, Lord, that we may follow you and obey you and love you as you are so worthy of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for coming. And just enjoy some fellowship with someone before you head out. And we look forward to seeing y'all on Saturday, the men's breakfast, the ladies'